Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And good afternoon. Welcome into our Straight Talk program brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us today. Your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road, Camden Avenue here in Rock Hill. And Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more by going to PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. With us today is Jalen Lowe. She is a historical interpreter at Historic Bradensville and, of course, an old friend of the program and many of us at Broadcast House, Mr. Zach Lamhouse, who is an historian for the Culture and Heritage Museums. And today we're going to talk about one of my favorite places personally, Historic Bradensville. And you have big doings going on out there right now. Of course, it is Black History Month. And every year, Historic Bradensville puts on a wonderful demonstration, I guess that's the word for it, by way of the back door. So I will turn it over. First of all, tell us about Jalen Lowe, who you are, where you're from, and all that jazz. We were just talking about you spent time in Germany as a child.
Yes, sir. So my name is Jalen Lowe. I call myself a retired Army brat. I moved around a good bit, but my family is now in Aiken, South Carolina. And I went to Winthrop University, which is right across the street. And I have a sociology and African American studies degree. And I've been working at Historic Bradensville as the African American history interpreter for about a year and a half now.
What did you do before this, or was it just school and then you went straight to Bradensville?
Well, I graduated during the pandemic,
okay.
So I was at home. I worked retail for a little bit, and I've always worked with kids. I was a director of an after-school program, which helped me because we have a lot of school kids that come to Bradensville and visit us.
That would make it easier to deal with
it
all
would.
That, yeah.
It
seems to me, yes. And dealing with people like me, yes. Zach, of course, is an old friend, but for those who don't know who Zach Lamhouse is, take it away.
Absolutely. I'm Zach Lamhouse. I'm the staff historian with Culture and Heritage Museums of York County. Prior to that, I was a public school teacher. I taught 8th grade South Carolina history in York School District 1 at York Middle School for about 5 years. I have degrees from Winthrop University in history and history education. And then in 2019, I left the classroom to do a career change. It was not because I disliked teaching. I absolutely loved teaching. But I had this wonderful opportunity to join the museums as their historian. I'd been going to Bradensville since I was a child and started volunteering there in 2006. So I had a great relationship with Bradensville, and when I had the opportunity to work with them, I jumped at it. So I've been their historian for about 5 years now.
One of the great things about Historic Bradensville, and we were talking about it earlier, I always enjoy the Christmas candlelight tour and the other events that you all do throughout the year. There is always literally something going on.
There is.
At
mm-hmm.
Historic Bradensville. It doesn't matter what time of the year it is, you guys have got something cooking out there. And this month, it is by way of the back door. Tell me a little bit about that, because that's a living history thing. Explain to me and the listeners what this living history thing is.
So during certain months throughout the year, so Black History Month, every Saturday has a different theme. Mm-hmm. So it is a Living History Saturday, meaning it has a specialized theme. So each Saturday in February focuses on a different time period. So we focus on 18th and 19th century. This past Saturday was the daily life in the 18th century. And so because it was the 18th century, also focused on the American Revolution. Zach did a great battlefield tour that focused on the African-American history side of it. And we had different activities, talking about hair care, clothing, laundry, different things that enslaved people would have been doing or part of their daily life in the 18th century. So when people come, they will see interpreters on site, and then we have specialized planned activities as well.
Such as? What have you got cooking this Saturday?
So this Saturday is our Trades and Skills Weekend. So we'll have different interpretive activities, woodworking, natural dyeing. So you'll see people dressed in historical clothing. Everybody this weekend will be dressed in 19th century clothing. You can tell the difference between them because they're not the same clothes we wear today. And then at 11 and 2 o'clock, I will be leading a generalized Black history tour of Bradensville. So we'll go from the 18th century side all the way through the 19th century, talking about different parts of the history of the place.
Wow. And then you have more coming up throughout the month as we go. Do you want to?
We do. So every Saturday, our 17th is focused on agriculture, which will also focus on 19th century daily life. Trades and skills will focus on different things like blacksmithing and different things like that, while the agriculture weekend will focus on more of what the field hands were doing, so dealing with the animals, because we do have heritage breed animals. So we have sheep, we have a pig named Minnie, a horse named Sunny, chickens that lay eggs everywhere. And then the last weekend on the 24th, we will focus on art and cultural contributions. So the lasting legacy of the enslaved people and what they've left behind is a big part of Southern culture today, such as basket weaving and quilting. And a very important thing to mention is that every weekend we have descendants come out, primarily descendants of the enslaved people there, like Miss Margaret Crawford Parson Willens, Mr. Wally Cathcart. They come out, Miss Sarah Lowry, and talk about their families and give them a voice. And then we have a few descendants that actually interpret and be on site as well.
I believe we had one of the descendants, the show that you and I did a year or so ago at around this time.
We did. It was Miss Margaret Crawford Parson Willens. That's right.
Wonderful lady.
She's wonderful.
She's great. Obviously, to do this and make it convincing and effective, Zach, there's a great deal, I would think, of research that goes into this, where obviously they have you burning the midnight oil.
Yes, so there is a lot of research that goes into it. And as far as information on the enslaved population, we are very lucky at historic Brattonsville, as opposed to some other historic plantations throughout our country, to have a wealth of primary source documentation to give us an idea of who was enslaved there and how many. So, for example, we know that one of the first people enslaved by the Brattons was a young man named Watt. We know that he was enslaved on the Bratton plantation in 1780 at the time of the American Revolution. Mm-hmm. And we know this because when Watt died, the Brattons erected a tombstone for him and his wife Polly. Highly uncommon for enslavers to spend the kind of money it would take to erect a tombstone. But they erected this stone for Watt and his wife Polly, and the stone inscription references his service to Colonel Bratton during the Revolution. We know from the very first census of the United States, which was conducted in 1790, we know that Colonel Bratton enslaved 12 people. We know that the cotton gin was invented in 1793, and Colonel Bratton became an early cotton planter, and as such, his enslaved population grew, and we can see that in his will. So there's another primary document. Colonel Bratton dies in 1815, and his will shows that there are 23 enslaved people, right? So it's starting to grow. His son, Colonel Bratton's youngest son, is John Simpson Bratton Sr. He's the one that built the really big white plantation house that most visitors are familiar with. When they think Brattonsville, they probably think that big white plantation house. John Sr. built that house in 1826, and it became the center of the plantation, and it really grew to its height under him. Okay. So he dies in 1843, and at the plantation's height around his death, there are 139 enslaved people of African descent living and working there.
And more than quadrupled.
And we know that because when he died, when John Sr. died, there was an inventory of his estate conducted. So we have those numbers from that estate inventory. And then enslaved people continued to live and work there until emancipation in 1865. And we are exceedingly lucky to have a list of those people. So John Sr.'s widow, Harriet, she had a list of people who were formerly enslaved on the plantation at the time of emancipation. And we are fortunate there to have names of individuals. So we have a wealth of sources that really help us inform our interpretation for programming, like By Way of the Back Door.
They really did keep meticulous records and such, these families. But even the local newspapers at the time, the York newspaper in particular, I understand has been a treasure trove of information. We had an author from California who had, you know, roots here, relatives back in the period, that did a lot of his research for his book through the records of this newspaper in York that existed back in the day.
The Yorkville Inquirer was
exactly.
a newspaper, and it's a wonderful source as well. As far as the enslaved population is concerned, it's good for occasionally you have runaway slave ads where enslaved people try to escape to freedom. They take it upon themselves to emancipate themselves, and occasionally enslavers will take out these ads in newspapers. So that's a wealth of information for interpreting the history of the enslaved people as well.
It's incredible. And, of course, after they were freed in 1865, then a certain number chose to stay on anyway, right?
So we're lucky. We also have sharecropper agreements
okay.
between the Brattons and newly freed African Americans known as freedmen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what we can do and what I've done is you cross-reference the 1865 freedmen list of people that were on the plantation when emancipation came, and you cross-reference that with these sharecropping agreements, and you can see that there are a number of them that were formerly enslaved on the Bratton plantation, and they stayed on the property and continued to work for the Brattons as sharecroppers.
That's very impressive, because then they were drawing salaries and that sort of thing, or wages and a whole different thing. Now, on the 24th, you have something called Arts and Cultural Contributions. Explain to me a little bit of what that is, because you're going to have food involved.
So one major thing that has lasted through time in our southern culture is the food that enslaved people were cooking, something like barbecue. So
yeah.
We have a volunteer who's actually our master carpenter, and he said he wanted to try a couple of different things out, and last year for our Juneteenth event, he cooked barbecue, so he volunteered again to do barbecue for us. It'll be cooked over an open fire, and it will be pork from our Everything But the Oink event that was processed on site that we've kept salted and things like that. So people will be able to come and learn about the history of barbecue and also smell it. Because unfortunately, we can't feed the public. We're not approved.
Man. What about the media? What about influential members of the media like me?
If you sign up to volunteer, we will definitely be happy to give you a
piece. That may be fun, you know?
It would be.
We'd love to have you.
Well, I don't know what you'd have me do, but it could be fun, you know?
It would be fun.
Why not? I'll get back with you on that. When is this now? Is this going to be the end of the month?
It is at the end of the month. So on February 24th, and it will be being cooked throughout the day because barbecue is a pretty long process.
Oh, yeah.
And we usually have some recipes, and we have books on sale in the gift shop as well that have different recipes as well.
That's fantastic. Now, for folks who don't know about historic Brattonsville, if you've never been there, you got to do it. The movie The Patriot with Mel Gibson
mm-hmm.
was made back in 1999, and a large part of that movie was filmed right there.
That's right.
At historic Brattonsville, where the Hollywood carpenters and all that, they came in and they did some work, I understand, and kind of spruced the place back up for their purposes, and then said, there you go. You know, we're done. So do what you will with it. And, of course, that's when I learned about it, was after first arriving here and going out there. And the first thing I did was the candlelight Christmas thing, and I was hooked.
Wow.
I mean, it'll do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And every year since then, you know, irregardless of weather, I go. You know, it's money well spent, and it is maintained by what, the Museum of York County? Is that correct?
That's right. So York County, we are actually affiliated with the York County government,
right?
And we are also a nonprofit. So some of our funding comes from the county, but then we also get funding through grants. A lot of the preservation you see out there, if you've been to Brattonsville recently, you've probably noticed that we were doing some external preservation on two of the original houses, the big Homestead House,
right.
which was used in the filming of The Patriot,
right.
and the smaller house that would have been Colonel Bratton's original house. It was renovated heavily in 1839, so we are externally taking those houses back. The Homestead House externally looks the way it did in 1855, and Colonel Bratton's house looks the way it did in 1839 when it was being used as a female seminary. So we couldn't do stuff like that without grant funding, the support we have from the county, but also support from members.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's anyone in the listening audience who would like to become a member, please go to our website, chmuseums.org, and membership information is there, because we really can't do all the wonderful things we do out there without the support from the county and from our visitors, our members.
Yeah, I was going to say the admission fee has always been very, very reasonable for the events that have been held there. I mean, You're not going to break the bank, believe me, and you're going to get more than your money's worth. How large is that property? I've often wondered this.
Yeah, it's 800 acres. It is 800 acres.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now the heart of the property is much smaller than that. It's
right.
Important to keep in mind we have a series of nature trails. Mm-hmm. So if you enjoy hiking, there's a lot to do at Brattonsville other than being in the beautiful historic space.
Right.
If you enjoy nature hiking, you could come on the Walt Schrader Trails. And hike and enjoy the beauty of nature that way.
Now, who is Walt Schrader?
Walt Schrader. So he. It's a great question. He.
I have my moments.
Yeah, I think I would need to go back and look. I think he was a naturalist.
Okay, that would
and
make
we
sense.
We have named those trails.
That would make sense. I didn't mean to trip you up there.
No,
you
know? It's fine.
That's kind of a news story right there. A stone trips up the historian, you know. He'll get even, believe me. That's what friends are for. So, By Way of the Back Door is a whole month-long thing from every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And, of course, you do have the guided tours from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., which is great. It's very, very reasonable. We were just talking about cost. Adults, it's $8. Seniors, $7. Children, $5. And free for, of course, the museum members and under the age of 3. But tell me, there's some lectures that are going to be happening at Winthrop featuring the Descendants that you touched on. I wanted to kind of get into that just a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So it is a partnership between Historic Rock Hill mm-hmm. and Winthrop University's History Department. It's called Bridging the Legacy of Slavery, a Conversation Between Brattonsville's Black and White Descendants. And this is a descendants group. It's a grassroots group. That was established independent of Historic Brattonsville, even though we support them and have worked very closely with them. Wonderful group of both those descended from the enslaved population, so African Americans, and those descended from the white population, the white Bratton population. And they have done some wonderful work at bridging this gap and opening up these lines of communication. And they will be having a panel discussion tonight at Winthrop University. It starts at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
It's going to be in Barnes Recital Hall, which is the music department's recital hall.
Right.
There's free parking very close to Barnes, and the event is free. And for Winthrop students, it is a cultural event credit. So please come out. I'll be there. Jalen, will you be there? Not to put you on the spot.
Not tonight. I have another meeting. But
well, I will be there. Come out and see the Descendants. They are really a wonderful group of people.
And it's interesting because they're like generations removed now from the original people. But these stories, you know, they're told through the family, through generations.
That's right.
I remember my grandmother and, you know, from the old country in Italy and stories and that thing. And then, of course, on my dad's side, it was, you know, the Germans and their stories, and it just goes on, and even now, talking to my grandchildren, telling, well, your grandfather, he served in World War II, and he's in the Navy, and but that's how it gets handed down, the history, and it is everyone's history, you know?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Bridging the Legacy of Slavery is tonight.
That is tonight.
Okay.
7 o'clock.
That's with the Descendants. Now, on the 22nd, you have an event. Let me do this. Let me take the mid-program break before I run out of time here and remind you folks that you are listening to Straight Talk. I see I get wrapped up in this and, you know.
I get it, yeah.
The time starts zooming by. This is Straight Talk, broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill across from Winthrop University, where they make fresh stubs and salads right before your eyes. Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. And the magical way they do this, as anyone will tell you, is
slice, slice, slice,
slice.
Garden.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
It's soup weather, and Substation 2 is ready. Nothing says fall like a cup of hot, delicious soup, and we serve a rotating selection of flavors. Just call to find out what's on the menu, because we never know what we're going to feel like making that day. Soup and sandwich, what a great combo. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Emergency care close to home. The team at Piedmont Medical Center has the advanced training to handle your medical emergencies, and we're making it easier for you to access care every day. For non-life-threatening problems, online ER check-in is available at all our emergency room locations, meaning less waiting room time, more peace of mind. Simply visit PiedmontMedicalCenter.com, pick a time you want to be seen, and then wait at home while we hold your place. For life-threatening emergencies, call 911. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Last year was a big year for Founders Federal Credit Union and our amazing members. A total of $30 million was given back to qualifying members in the form of loyalty bonus dividends, proving once again that it pays to be a Founders member. Founders is also committed to pouring time and resources into the local communities we serve. If you aren't a member yet, what are you waiting for? Join Founders today. Visit FoundersFCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Membership qualification required.
Stream TV from Comporium is more than just TV. It's accessing all your favorite shows and movies. From here, in there, up there somewhere, here too, we won't tell. It's restarting shows mid-show. It's TV that learns the difference between what you like and what you love. It's what you want, when you want it, where you want it. So yeah, we're more than your internet company. We're your smart TV, just got a whole lot smarter company.
Hey, Alex, have you tried that new pastrami on rye at Substation 2?
You're darn right I have, and you should too. It's freshly sliced, lean, delicious, served hot, and piled high. And I understand you better hurry, because it's a limited time offer.
Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And I want to remind you, we're also brought to you by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. With us today is Jalen Lowe, historical interpreter at Historic Grattansville, and of course, Mr. Zach Lemhouse, an old friend. He is the historian for the Culture and Heritage Museums. Now, we're getting ready to launch into an event that's coming up the end of this month on the 22nd over in Winthrop's Dina's Place, and that is part of the Way of the Back Door program. Their voices, their stories. Tell me about that.
So this event, we're trying something a bit new, but we have a couple of descendants that we mentioned earlier, Miss Margaret, Mr. Wally, that were very active in the civil rights movement. Miss Margaret actually spent time incarcerated for the work that she was doing. She was a student at South Carolina State.
Right.
And Mr. Wally was actually part of the Negro League in New Jersey and played for multiple teams. And they're going to speak about their experiences from their own voices, about living in that time period, about growing up in the Jim Crow era. And it's also sponsored by the History Department, more specifically the African American Studies program, which I was a part of while I was a student. And one of my old professors, Dr. O. Jennifer Dixon McKnight, who's also helped us out at Grattansville a lot, she will be the moderator of that event. And you'll be able to see pictures, hear from the descendants, and also ask some questions as well. People who were active in the civil rights movement and grew up right here in York County to hear their firsthand experience.
Oh, there's a very, very strong history in York County of the civil rights movement going all the way back before the sit-ins and the French of Nine and all that in York County. You know, it's a wealth of history and information, you know, from that entire period. Where do we go from here? You do this every February, of course. How are the crowds? I mean, we were talking earlier that they seem to be larger this year than last, say?
It seems like it's growing. I think a part of it is people having a new interest in history, especially African-American history. Mm-hmm. And since we've been a few years removed from the COVID pandemic, people are coming out a bit more. We doubled our numbers this past Saturday from the previous years, and with good weather, knock on wood, we're hoping to have good numbers this weekend as well. And I think the events that we have, the panel that's tonight and the panel at the end of the month, will help us get more people to come out and kind of break that barrier and I think the tours as well, once they learn about the history of the place.
Promise you, you go to Bradenville once, you will go back.
Yeah.
You know, you will. You will look for a reason to go back, because it's just that kind of, it's a really cool place. It really is, and the you guys just you get into such character there. I mean, it's just astounding. And how much research do you have to put into getting into that character? I mean, it's almost like a Hollywood, you know, acting, movie, dramatic thing, you know?
Well, we no longer do first person throughout the year. We only do that around Christmas Candlelight. But there's a lot of research into the activities that we do. Luckily, the site's been open since 1978, and there's been a lot of great people before us, and Zach, who we can email a bunch of questions to, and he'll send us information on. We always end up down rabbit trails with our information, but we try to put as much work into it as possible so we can cover all of our bases.
Well, you got to start doing it more than just Christmas time, because you guys are really, really good at it, you know?
Can you explain a little bit for the listening audience the difference between first-person and third-person interpretation, in case they don't know?
Yeah. So first-person would be taking on a persona. So for my position, first-person would be basically reenacting an enslaved person. We have a military interpreter. He might interpret somebody from the American Revolution or from maybe the Union Army and things like that. But we do third person, meaning we wear the historical clothing, but it's more of like our work clothes. And we will interpret as far as explain what activity we're doing and the history of the place. So on Christmas Candlelight, that's when you see us acting and doing first person, putting on a character.
Right.
So you'll still see costumed interpreters.
Oh, yeah.
It's just they're not going to pretend in third person that they're from that time period.
Exactly. Okay. Well, it is great what you're doing. I recommend it to families with children especially. You know, you can never learn too much. And every time you and I get together, I wind up learning, you know, even more. So I thank you for that. Is there anything that I missed in our final minute or two that we have?
No, we have a great program coming up that kind of wraps up by the way of the back door. It's actually in March. It's on March 2nd.
Okay.
It will be programming on Reconstruction, the time period after the American Civil War.
That's right.
Focusing on the African-American community during the Reconstruction era. So please come out to that. That is on March 2nd.
And that'll be where?
Historic Bradenville.
Okay, that will be out at Historic Bradenville. Well, that's excellent. I had a minute to spare here, or 2 minutes to spare. Anything that you want to add to this, Jaylen?
I also want to add every Saturday following the Reconstruction event, we'll also have Women's History Month. So that'd be really exciting to talk about what women were doing during the 18th and 19th century, focusing more on, because once the homestead opens back up, it'll be Harriet Bratton's home.
Mm-hmm.
I believe an 1850s style home, and there are also some enslaved women that we know about, Letty, Lila, Rosa, that we'll be able to talk about as well, which is very exciting for us.
So they weren't running the world like they are today.
Give or take. They may do with what they were given, I'll say that.
All right. That's a pretty good way to put it. Very diplomatic way to put it, in fact, you know. Well, this is fantastic. Again, it is Historic Bradenville by way of the back door, happening every Saturday through the end of this month, and it's so big that they have to take the first weekend of March to kind of tie it all into a neat package and bring it all home. But we appreciate you being here today and further educating us. It's been an honor. Jaylen Lowe, historical interpreter at Historic Bradenville, and our good friend Zach Lemhouse, the historian for the Culture and Heritage Museums. This has been Straight Talk, brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. We broadcast from Substation 2. She's getting ready for it. Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, home of fresh subs and salads made right before your very eyes. And as Jaylen will tell you, the magical way they do it is...
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
We'll see you tomorrow for Straight Talk.